I want to emphasize again what Brother TB said about the ladies' conference tomorrow. I want to encourage every lady to come and hear Francie. She is an unbelievable teacher of the Word of God, and I promise you, you'll be a better lady, you'll be a better mother, you'll be a better wife, you'll be a better everything. I absolutely promise you that. Francie and I have been married 42 years. Most of it's been good. Come on, loosen up a little bit. We have four children. We are empty nesters. We have six grandchildren, and we've been blessed really in so many things. I iterated the other night that Francie and I both came out of the Catholic Church. When I was young, our family was very dysfunctional. I can't even begin to tell you how bad it was. I have six brothers. I am the sixth of seven sons, and it was pretty rough to the point that the people in town would say, "Oh no, here they come again." Francie has 11 brothers and sisters. But, you know, from a youngest child, even though I was brought up in the Catholic Church and I'd memorized Latin, I was an altar boy, I've always kind of been honest with myself, and I knew that there was something missing in my life. I didn't know what it was, but I knew. And so people would always try to tell me, "Well, you're all right. You've been baptized. You've been confirmed and all that." And I'd try to listen to it, but in my heart of hearts, be honest with yourself, in my heart of hearts, I knew I wasn't. And so I went, like the young lady led the music here. Unfortunately for me, my life was very rough. But when I was 24 years old, one day I decided to move from Michigan to Florida. I was single and by myself. I didn't know what was out there, but I knew something was missing in my life, and I wasn't coming back until I found it. So on March 24th, actually 1974, a long time ago, I was home all alone. I turned on the television set. There was one of those religious programs that came on Sunday morning. It was the Rex Humbard Show. There was a lady on there by the name of Lulu Roman. You probably heard of Lulu. And she was giving her testimony that morning. And at the end of that program, I knew, even though she was hundreds of miles away from me in that television tube, I knew she was talking to me. And I knew that that lady had what I was looking for. I absolutely knew it. So at the end of that program, I tell people, you know, I didn't hear any rock music. I didn't see any flashing lights. I didn't walk on the ceiling. I didn't do anything except the best that I could. I bowed my head and I said, "I don't know what all this means, but I know she's telling the truth. And so I need God in my life." And all I can tell you, is this the Phil?
No.
Oh. Okay. I didn't think so. All I can tell you is he came into my life that day. Anyone who knew me before that day and still knew me the next day said something happened in that guy's life. Now, I didn't know anything. I thought an apostle and an epistle were husband and wife. You know, I'm telling you, I didn't know anything. I called the book of Job, Job, and Psalms, Palms, and I went to Bible college, went to seminary. This is a true story. I'm sitting in Bible college, and they're talking about, you know the story of David and Goliath? And I'm a grown man, and I didn't know the story of David and Goliath. That's a fact. But I can tell you this, Jesus came into my life that day. And I started on a journey, the Lord in my life. I certainly haven't arrived. I've had some ups and downs. But I can tell you this, with all of my heart, I have never lost the joy of the Lord in my life. That's true. I've had doubts. My faith has wavered. But I have never lost the joy of the Lord. I know who He is. He knows who I am. And I'm very thankful for that. I'm thankful that I can come here today. Phil, I want to thank you for the batteries. I'll tell you one more story. And then we'll get into our messages. I have pastored a church in Colorado, and in our church there was the director of corrections for the whole state. His name was Dr. Jim Ricketts, and he would allow us to go down to the Supermax and the state penitentiary, some of the big bombers and people that are there. And I have a picture of me sitting in the gas chamber at the Colorado State Penitentiary. And it's one of the most sobering things that's ever happened to me. I thought about this because I also sat in the electric chair, but I have a picture of me in the gas chamber. And it's like a capsule, and you're sitting inside of that, and you're sitting there. I'm just telling you so you know I'm going someplace. You sit there in this chair. They tried to close the door. I said, don't close the door. But I'm sitting in this, and on the right-hand side, there's a window. And underneath the window, there's a little slot, and there's a tube that goes down, and then there's a bucket that sits there. And what happens when they have to take someone's life, they put a cyanide pill in this slot, and it goes clink, 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 and it hits the bucket, and it starts creating the gas. And that's how that happens. I'm telling you this not to be gory, but to tell you this. When I sat there, it reminded me of something as a Christian, is that I die daily. I die daily. Every day I have to put myself in that chair and by my own volition say, I die today, that Jesus can have his full way in my life. And that's the way us Christians are. As Paul said, every day I die with Christ. Now, I'm going to bring some messages. I really want to talk about the Holy Spirit in our life. It's a good topic, right? It's a good person. And, you know, there's a lot of misunderstandings and a lot of just lack of knowledge. But I'm here to tell you, you can trust me on this one thing. I am here with all of my heart to lift us up this week. I am here to encourage us. I know the church needs encouragement. I know that Randy needs encouragement. And I am here to do that. But I don't want it to be a facade, and I don't want it to be parade, and I don't want it to be willy-dilly. I'm telling you the real encouragement and the real joy in our life, in your life, if you're a Christian, will come through the Holy Spirit working in your life. Anything else I tell you won't last. I won't, you know, it'll be fun and gooey-gooey, but real joy will come in our life as the Holy Spirit of God dwells and fills us in our life and leads us in our life. And that's a fact. And it could be no other place. That's where it will come from. I want to read a portion of Scripture to you. And then I'm going to speak tonight on a subject of the personal Holy Spirit and the difference in people's lives. I'm going to talk about the fruit. I'm going to talk about the gifts as we're here the next few messages. On Sunday night, do not miss the message, because I'm going to show you how to be rewarded when the Spirit of God is filling your life, and how you'll be a better person for that. But I want you to turn your Bibles over to the book of Romans, and Romans chapter 8, and I just want to read some verses for you just for a foundation for our messages that we'll have this week. So if you'll get your Bible and turn over to Romans chapter 8. Okay. How many of you have your Bible with you? Let me see your hands. Okay. How many of you have like a Bible concordance at home? How many have something like that? A Bible dictionary? How many have like that? Okay, how many of you have a hymnal? Well, would you mind bringing them back? I noticed there's a bunch of them missing in the back of the... Just off to a good start here, okay? I know. Okay, Romans chapter 8, and I'm going to read to you the first 17 verses, and then we'll move on from there. This, I'm introducing the person and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. So I want you to pay attention out of Romans chapter 8. Therefore, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit is life in Christ, hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, and condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but walk after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh, do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after spirit, the things of the spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because a carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed even can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So then that they are in flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your natural bodies by this Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, you are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. But if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. Verse 14. But as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the children of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby you cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bearing witness with our spirit that you are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God, join heirs with Christ. If so be, we suffer with him, we may be glorified together. Okay, the person of the Holy Spirit. When I say person, that's exactly what I mean. Look to the person that's sitting next to you, that is a person. The Holy Spirit is a person. Now, he just happens to be a spirit. He doesn't have a body like you have. He is a spirit. But all spirits desire a body. Even evil spirits desire a body to live in. The Holy Spirit desires to live in a person. The difference is that the Holy Spirit will not co-dwell with any other spirit. See, so the person who has the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God in their life, never has to worry about other spirits living in their body. He will not coexist. Now, evil spirits are real and alive, and I've had a little contact with them. They're not much fun. But, you know, I'm not worried about it because greater is he that's in me than he is in the world. So it's not that big of an issue, but it's for real. But, you know, evil spirits, they are there and, you know, they nitpick and they harass and they condemn, or they can't condemn, but they, you know, accuse you and they nitpick and they bother you and they'll try to depress you and discourage you. But they can't own you if you're a Christian. Because the Holy Spirit of God comes into a person's life at the moment that they receive Jesus as their Savior. Now, this is important for us to know. Because God really is three in one. You've heard of the Trinity. He really is the three in one. And I've heard it best explained in two ways. One is, I am a husband. I am also a father. I'm also a brother. But I'm just one. I'm still just Randy, but I have different responsibilities in my life. I've heard it put another way, in an egg. You have a yolk, you have the white, and you have the shell, but you have to have all three to have an egg. Well, that's the way God is. God is three in one. But as you know, it's physically impossible to put one human body inside of another human body. That just doesn't work right. You can't jam it in there. So the Holy Spirit, the purpose of the person of the Holy Spirit, that he can come as a spirit and he can dwell in the people who have received the Lord as their Savior. Now, this is not a little thing. I want you to know that this is the mystery of the ages. Christ in you, the hope of all glory. Now you stop and think about this. The God of all creation, he's big. And he can come and live in you. Now, Brother Jimmy, you may not think that's such a big thing. I'm sure you do. Because let me tell you why. I can understand God living in you. And I can understand God living in TB. But it's rough for me to understand God living in Randy. Oh, boy. I mean, that's the hope of all glory. That is the mystery of the ages, where God would leave his throne of all eternity and to come and live inside of you. Don't take that for granted. That is a big deal.
Amen. Amen.
It's not a process. It's not something you start and you think, I'm going to get better, and someday, some God day, God will come in and he'll love me, and if I get good enough, I can have this relationship. That's not it at all. It's not a process. It's an event. It's an event. Every person who ever comes to God, there will be an event in their life. It will be point action. It will be a time in your life when you changed your mind and you changed your heart and you invited the Lord to come into your life. He's never forced his way on anybody. It all came by an event, by your own volition, that you chose and you invited him to come into his life, into your life. Now, I want to show you how simple this is. And it shows up in a very odd place. And I want you to look over in your Bibles to the book of Mark in chapter 5. I read the foundation scripture, but I want you to get a hold of this. Mark chapter 5. Okay, listen to this. And they, this is Jesus and his disciples, came over to the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he's come out of the ship, immediately there met him one out of the tombs, a man with an unclean spirit, not the Holy Spirit, an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not even with chains, because he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs and the cemetery, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him and cried with a loud voice and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, What's your name? And he answered, My name is Legion, and we are many. Then drop down to verse 14. And they that had fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out and all that was their doing. And they came to Jesus. And they see him that was like this, possessed with the devil and had the legion, sitting and clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid. And they that told him how it befell that was possessed with the devil and also concerning the swine, and began to pray him to depart out of the place. And he was coming to the ship. He that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. But Jesus, howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him. And all men did marvel. I want you to remember that. Now, I wanted to tell you how simple this is. It's so important for each one of us to see the difference in religion and who Jesus is. Because of my background, it's very important for me to tell you. This story is so extreme. I want you to know I have traveled in well over 20 countries in the world. Last year I checked off. I've been in all 50 states in the United States. I've ministered to people. I've helped people all over the world. I have never seen a case as extreme as Legion is. Now this guy was so demon-possessed that he lived in the cemetery. Most of the time he was naked. The people in the community would come and they would put chains on him. They would put fetters on him to try to hold him down. And he had so much strength that he literally could break the chains. This man would holler and scream almost all the time. He actually would cut himself, self-mutilation. I mean, this guy was out of control. Now, I'm telling you, I have been all over. I'm not saying it doesn't exist. I've seen many cases. I have never seen anything this extreme. I've seen parts of it, but I've never seen one person like this. This man was in tough shape. Now, I want you to repeat after me, and I'm not going to trick you. I want you to say this with me. I am. Say that. In better shape than Legion. Yes, you are. I am in better shape than Legion. But I'm going to show you how simple this is, because this is an extreme case. If something can happen in this case, it can happen for me. Now here's a man, again living in the cemetery. He's demon-possessed. He has no family. He has some friends from the past. There's very little, if anything, taking place that is good in this person's life. Now this guy is at the bottom. It can't get any worse than this. From my eyes, from my experience, everything that I've seen. Now, religion was a big problem for this guy. Do you know how I know? Well, this is how I know. He lived in a cemetery, in the tombs. And probably every day, sometimes twice a day, there would be a funeral. And here would come the priest, and he's got his incense, he's got his holy water, they're chanting, mea culpa, mea culpa, mea maxima culpa. They're calling, they're coming through there. In the Asian community, actually, they have paid mourners. In case you don't have anybody to cry for you when they die, you can hire people to come. And they're wailing, they're moaning. This is a big event. And old Legion sees this every day. And he sees that old self-righteous priest coming in with that robe, looking down his skinny nose. Look at me, I'm the religious one. Well, old Legion sees this. But Legion's honest with himself. He says, I don't know what they're doing. but it ain't working. Whatever they have, I don't want it. That's what religion is. Religion is dead and dry, and people come and they hear it over and over and over again, but there's no change in their life. Because they're looking for something. I was looking for something. I guarantee you're looking for something. Every day you're looking for something in your life. Religion will never, ever solve that for you in your life. Ever. It won't. Ever. Just forget about it. It won't happen. Every day he sees the procession. Now, Legion was a bad man, you understand? If you're older than 60, he was badder than Leroy Brown. If you're younger than 60, you'll have to go home and Google that. But bad, bad Leroy Brown, the baddest man in the whole wide. You'll have to Google that. I know you never heard of him, but that's a fact. This man was bad now. He was bad. You don't know anybody as bad as this guy. He was bad. Out of control. There were so many things trying to keep this person from Jesus. Just think about this. Isolated. Living in a cemetery. Naked. That's pretty bad. Screaming. Demon-possessed. Chains. Looking at people that should be able to help him, but there's no help. Someone said that's lower than a snake's girdle. Oh, you got to Google that too. He was honest with himself. He knew in his heart of hearts something was missing in his life. It says in chapter 5 and verse 2, and when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. It's amazing that Legion confronts Jesus in his condition. He didn't try to get dressed up. He didn't try to comb his hair. He didn't try to get cleaned up. He goes and confronts Jesus as he is. Now you listen to me. Anyone who comes to Jesus, you'll come just the way you are. If you come with a facade, you try to pretend something, be something you're not, you try to be hypocritical, you'll never get to Jesus. You will come exactly the way you are. That's the way we come. That's the way we come. That's the way he wants us to come. Listen, you won't change it. You won't alter it. You won't add to it. You won't subtract to it. You will come to Jesus by faith or you won't come. Now this is interesting. Nude, crazy, out of control. You understand this person needed an exorcist? Look at chapter 5 and verse 6. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped him. Now don't miss this point. It says when he saw Jesus, he ran and he worshiped him. Now no one has ever even taught him to do that. Brother preachers, listen to me. The religious people were about ready to have a heart attack. You listen. No incense. No praise music. No sermon. No hands raised. No praise band. No Lord's Supper. No church building. This is pure, pure Jesus. You got it? Every person who comes to Jesus, you will come the way you are, you will bear your soul, and you'll meet Jesus eyeball to eyeball, and He will save you. There's no other way. There's no other name under heaven whereby men must be saved. That was the only chance for Legion. In chapter 5 and verse 18 it says, "And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the Lord prayed him that he might stay with him." Now this is pretty typical. Legion says, "Man, I've been relieved. This bad stuff is gone." You know what he wanted to do? He wanted to become a groupie. Yeah, he did. Yeah? "Oh, Lord Jesus, I'm going with you. I'm going to get in your boat and go with you. I'm going to follow you. I'm going to be a groupie. You're going to be my idol." You know what Jesus told him? "No, you're not." Chapter 5 and verse 19, he says, "You go home to your friends. You go home to your friends and have compassion on them. And you tell them your story. You tell them your testimony. You tell them." But when they saw Legion, they said, "He's different. He's different." They came and they saw him sitting in his right mind, and I tell you, they were so hypocritical. They were, you know, they couldn't eat pork. I wonder where all those swine went. You know, I mean, these people, I got them. I got them right here. You know, they're caught. And it says in verse 20, "And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things that Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel." Do you know why? Because this is marvelous. This is pretty marvelous. Old Legion, over there in that old cemetery, causing problems. I told you how deep he was. He's in bad shape. And now he's down in Decapolis and he's preaching a revival meeting. And everybody's saying, "Man, this is marvelous." You know why? Because it is. There's no other explanation for this guy. There's none. Jesus came to his life and changed his life. And that's marvelous. About 2 years later, the picture's in another cemetery. But the outcome's a little different. Mary comes to the tomb. She looks down in the tomb. She sees two men, two angels, white apparel. They tell Mary, "He's not here. He's gone." Now that's marvelous. Because he lives, I can live. Because Jesus did this extreme thing in Legion's life, he can work in anybody's life. But you'll come as you bear your soul. You know what the two men in white apparel told Mary? They said, "Run, Mary. Go tell your friends that he's risen." You know what I say to you? Run, Debbie, run. Run, TB, run. Run, Jimmy, run. Run, Carla, run. And tell them that Jesus is alive. And it's marvelous. And he who is alive can dwell in you. And I can do all things through Christ who dwells in me. Isn't that marvelous?
Amen.
Isn't that marvelous? Amen? Well, you know, I don't know you really. You don't know me. But I know this, that if you don't have the Lord in your life, you can have him. And it's marvelous. It's marvelous. And you can have him tonight. You can invite him into your life tonight at this very moment. If you do have him, then we're going to have some good times together. And we're going to talk about how you can have victory in your life and filling in your life and victory in your life. And we're going forward. And you ought to bring your friends and go tell them it's marvelous. And there's some crazy guy down there. Some crazy guy. Listen, you may not believe it. You know I believe it, don't you? You know I believe it. And he is real. He'll be in your life. So Jimmy, Pastor, Brother TV, why don't you come and stand? Could we sing a hymn, something together? Can we have an invitation? Can we have an altar call? And, Brother TV, I'll turn it over to you.